I'm someone who loves trying out different makeup looks, but doesn't really wear much on a daily basis, so I like to focus on making sure I have high quality staples. And whether you like a fresh face, full glam, or somewhere in between, you've probably seen Thrive Cosmetics Viral Tubing Mascara. I've certainly seen it everywhere. You know, the one in the turquoise tube? So that mascara, along with all of Thrive Cosmetics' beauty products, are certified 100% vegan and cruelty-free, which I look for in makeup, and they've got excellent quality to match. And something I didn't know from all the mascara videos I've seen is that for every product sold, Thrive Cosmetics donates either that same product, another product that is needed more, or a monetary donation. They've worked with over 500 nonprofits to help with a wide range of causes like supporting cancer survivors, people experiencing homelessness, education access, and so much more. Knowing that makes me feel even better about using their products. And I do enjoy using them. Like I said, I like having high quality staples, and so my favorites are products that are multi-purpose, like the Brilliant Eye Brightener. It comes in a bunch of colors, and I like using them as eyeliner, eyeshadow, and even highlighter. Thrive Cosmetics is luxury beauty that gives back. Right now, you can get an exclusive 20% off your first order at thrivecosmetics.com/thrive. That's Thrive Cosmetics, CAUSEMETICS, .com/thrive for 20% off your first order. You can shop from anywhere doing pretty much anything. You might shop while working, eating, or even listening to this podcast. And however you shop, we all know and love the thrill of the hunt. But do you also know how to get the thrill of the best deals? Because Rakuten shoppers do. With Rakuten, they get the deals they love with the most savings and cash back. And you can get it too. Start getting cash back at your favorite stores like Sephora, Nike, and even Expedia if you're looking to get some travel in. And getting cash back doesn't mean you have to miss out on sales, because those can just be stacked right on top. It's easy to use and based on a simple idea. Stores pay Rakuten for sending them shoppers, and Rakuten shares the money with you as cash back through PayPal or check. Download the free Rakuten app and never miss a deal. Or go to Rakuten.com to start getting the most bang for your buck. That's Rakuten.
The red in the gay flag, it represents red flags. And like, that's a huge part of the experience and the culture.
And people don't seem to want to hide that, you know?
No, just celebrate them. Make TikToks about them.
I'm dyking out, you're dyking out. Let's dyke out together. See what it's all about.
Dyking out, dyking out, dyking out, dyking out.
Hi, and welcome to Dyking Out, a podcast that wants to remind you that it's bomber jacket season. I'm Carolyn Bergier.
I'm Melody Kamali, and today we're dyking out with author and writer Zara Berry about The Chart. You know, The Chart.
Yes. I want to make like the chart music noise, but what is it? It's like... Nailed it. Great.
Moving on.
Please rate and review that impression of the chart music we just gave on Apple Podcasts. I think it's a 5 stars for that. Yeah. I know that you hear us ask for it every week and you're like, okay, you did the beep boops. We'll venture over to Apple Podcasts and give you 5 stars. Join our Patreon. Please. We're begging of you. Get over there on Patreon for as little as $5 a month. It is our main source of revenue for the podcast and the way that we're able to keep this going, which we want to keep going. But we need your help. Yes. So we also have a Discord. We have Zoom meetups every other month for some levels. For some levels, if you're in New York, you get tickets to our Stonewall show, which the next one is April 25th.
Yeah, I'll be there.
Last Monday of the month. I'm not going to be there.
You know what I was thinking?
What?
Can I host it with Allie?
Sure, if you want.
Okay.
Yeah.
That'd be fun.
Yeah.
I know she's down.
Wow, on the fly. Look at this.
Look, we just made a decision about April 25th at Stonewall. I'll be hosting with my lover, Allie.
It'll be a great lineup. I mean, I kind of thought when I told you that I wasn't going to be coming this month because I'm going to a gay wedding in New Orleans. You know, if you're going to do that, though, Melody, you can't be making out and grabbing ass on stage the entire time.
You said I know you love it.
You like to hump. Yes. I know you love to hump on stage, but
every
it can't
time.
Be the whole opening.
God.
Yeah.
All right.
Just a little bit. Just
we'll
limit
write
it.
Some
limit
jokes.
It.
Okay.
Okay.
Fine. Whatever.
People are going to be like, no, we want to see them hump.
Oh,
more
and we
humping.
Will hump. Yeah. We will
yeah,
be
yeah. There
fondling.
Will be humping
yes.
And fondling.
Can't wait. Carolyn.
Yeah.
Got a question.
Okay.
Gotta know. What's the gayest thing you did this week?
Ooh, I feel like I'm cheating by saying this because I know that it's going to also be my gayest thing in a couple months. But I did buy tickets to go see Funny Girl on Broadway.
Hello,
and I'm
Broadway.
So excited. Beanie Feldstein.
Gay.
Jane Lynch.
Gay.
You know, I was kind of thinking like when they were bringing it back. Jane Lynch. One was supposed to be played by Rosie O'Donnell, but then Rosie's filming schedule got in the way. But Jane Lynch is so talented, and I hear it's in previews now. I was looking on Twitter to see what people were saying, and people are freaking out about how good it is, how good Beanie is, and how great Jane is, and that Jane's voice is incredible, which I've heard her sing before, and I can imagine it's going to be amazing. I was like, wouldn't it be cool if they made Funny Girl gay? But then the songs in Funny Girl really don't lend to that. Like, you'd really have to do some heavy rewriting. And it's also based on somebody's actual life. So you can't just make it gay.
Yeah, yeah.
I just, yeah.
An icon's life.
Whenever they're bringing back something to Broadway, I'm like, are they going to make it gay? But yeah, you can't just make Fanny Brace.
Yeah, you just gotta go see Fun Home.
Gay. Yeah, you just have to suffer through the song. What is it? I Am Woman, You Are Man.
Yeah. I want to see it. I'm very excited.
Sadie, Married Lady. I love it. I love the songs from it. The reason I didn't buy tickets sooner was just, I'm like, is it gonna be weird to watch it without Barbara Streisand? But you know, it's kind of like when I saw The Sound of Music on Broadway years ago, and I'm like, you can't watch The Sound of Music without Julie Andrews. It doesn't work.
Yeah.
But I think we can do it. I think Beanie.
When are you going to see it?
I am seeing it Memorial Day weekend. So we have our next Stonewall show, actually, the day after that.
Mm-hmm.
I will do my performance of Gay Funny Girl.
Okay. Oh, good.
Yeah.
Yeah. Can we say what's happening at that show?
No. We won't say.
We teased it on Patreon. We got a great comic
book. Who got
booked.
Confirmed.
Yeah.
Yes.
Oh,
yes.
Yeah. It's going to be good.
A slightly queer.
Don't say slightly queer.
Well, but that's how they identified in her special. She.
Oh, okay. Then it's fine.
Yeah. Had a
I've been really
about,
on
like,
you about bi-erasure
of it's not no but the way that she describes it in her special was like I'm queer, not like super queer, but like, you know, a little bit queer.
Okay. Yeah, that's right.
Yeah.
Forgot. Okay.
Yeah,
I'll allow it.
Okay. Well, either way, this person is iconic, so very excited to have them on the lineup, and hopefully they don't cancel.
Yeah.
Melody, what's the gayest thing you did this week?
I watched the Grammys with my gaybers. I finally have gaybers. I know you've had gaybers and you've hung out with them. Guys, that's gay neighbors. I have a hot lesbian couple that lives a few blocks from me. And how did I meet them? Through this podcast.
Right.
They're listeners.
And
they're the coolest people I know.
They really are.
Jody and Karina, the hottest couple I've ever seen. Karina is a celebrity makeup artist, and
I know I'm looking for her Instagram handle. I'm like, where's my phone?
It's like, it's Karina Milan _. It's a long one. Maybe that's two underscores, but definitely worth a follow, especially from the last few weeks. She's been doing Venus Williams makeup over the last couple months in the award circuit. if you noticed the glam on Venus, Karina did that.
Yes, at the Oscars.
Brought out the beauty that is Venus. I mean, stunning.
Yes.
I'm just excited to have gay neighbors so close. We got to watch them and point out how everyone was aesthetically a lesbian. I loved watching that with lesbians, like the BTS performance. That's a group of dykes.
Oh my gosh.
They are lesbians. Did you see it? I mean, anything
no,
they do.
I didn't see it.
I get it now. The stand-em. I don't know much about K-pop.
Okay.
I just know whoever I'm friends with does a little foray into K-pop, and then within a few weeks they're like super stans, and it's all they talk about or post about. Like, people get real into it.
I have some friends who are stans. I'm afraid to tread into it because it's like one of the crazier fandoms in terms of like their mobilizing and the kind of like crazy stuff they do for anybody that they perceive to be giving any sort of criticism. Mm-hmm. So I officially have zero opinion on K-pop. I will say some people I know watch the performance and they're like, huh, I don't get it. They're like, with all the hubbub around it, I really thought I was going to see something that like blew my mind.
The dancing was incredible.
Okay.
I don't know. I was like, wow, the boy band is alive and well. This is great.
Well, you know, I'm happy for everybody who enjoys that.
I'm happy for, you know, the kids who don't know they're queer and are watching it, either attracted to any gender, but especially the young lesbians. Who in like 20 years are going to be like, oh my God, it all makes sense why I was so into BTS. The same way we're like, oh yeah, I was obsessed with JTT or, you know, Devin Sawa.
Right.
Like these feminine looking boys.
Right.
I'm just wondering about that discourse in the future.
All right.
Okay.
Right.
I mean, there's so much else that happened, but it was just great to dyke out with dykes watching the Grammys and lusting over all the hot babes.
All the suits, all the outfits. We do talk a little bit more on the Patreon about the gay aesthetics of the Grammys. How is Billie Eilish?
Oh, incredible. She wore an oversized Taylor Hawkins shirt.
Yeah.
The production value, I think, was incredible. Like, there was one part where it was like there was rain falling all over her and Phineas. And we're like, but she's not wet. And we're like, maybe the rain is in front of her, like between the audience and them. We're like, no, that would be logistically crazy. Oh my God, it's the lighting. Like, we're just really stunned at the powers of stage lighting, I guess. The performance was good too. That was another one where it was like, I get it now.
Yeah.
I get it.
I get Billie Eilish. Cecilia did want to watch the Grammys, and I was like, no, I'd rather watch Gerard Carmichael's HBO special. So I did watch that, and yeah, a lot of interesting discourse around coming out and whatnot. That was your gayest thing last week.
I forgot to mention the name of the special, by the way, Rathaniel.
Yes, Rathaniel.
And I forgot to mention, it's not your typical comedy special. You texted me after you watched it, like, that was raw.
Yeah, I was like, I wasn't expecting Nanette for Black Men.
Yeah. It was powerful.
Yeah.
I just loved that. It was so jazzy. The look and feel. I mean, literally, they're playing jazz.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
Good stuff.
Well, speaking of good stuff, we have quite the episode today with, I would say, iconic, dyconic online lesbian. I'm sure at some point in your journey, I think even if you're one of our straight listeners, you've probably read a piece by this very prolific
and you didn't even
guest
know it.
Of ours. Because thousands of bylines.
I mean, Yeah, I tell her every time I look up a queer issue, she has writing on it out there on the internet.
Yep. Yep. So today we are diking out about The Chart with author, writer, and performer Zara Berry. She's the former senior sex and dating writer for Elite Daily and former executive editor of Go Magazine. In 2020, she published her first book, Girl, Stop Passing Out in Your Makeup, The Bad Girl's Guide to Getting Your Shit Together. Her work is regularly featured in outlets like The View, The Real, The Talk, The Huffington Post, The Cosmo, The Refinery 29, The Bustle, and The More. And in June of 2021, Zara launched Girls on Jane. Maybe you've listened to it. If not, you can start. A sexy, raw, serialized audio novel detailing the gritty and glittery world of lesbian nightlife in downtown New York. Let's go. Zara, thank you so much for being here today and diking out with us. How are you?
I am great. I'm very excited to be diking out. Diking out is my favorite thing to do.
Yes, hell yes. I know. I love it. Love your work. Big fan of it.
Thank you.
I remember, I think it was, what was it, 2 or 3 years ago, your piece about the word lesbian and like being proud of that label as somebody who still clings to that word.
I do, like, yeah.
Okay, thank you.
In my queer journey, I feel like in the last few years, every time I had a question about something within the culture or was kind of curious about what lesbians thought of something, I would Google it. I'd be directed to a article written by you for Go Magazine. I mean, every time. So I feel like I know you. Like, I remember I was getting ready to go to Fire Island for the first time. And then I read your like Seasoned Lesbian's Guide to Surviving Fire Island. It just keeps happening where I'm curious about something in lesbian culture. And then I'm educated by you and I love it.
Well, that makes me feel so good because you guys are, I mean, I'm such a fan of the podcast. And I also, as a writer, you feel like you're screaming into a void so much because it's such a lonely job. You're by yourself in your own thoughts with your own head. So I'm always shocked when people tell me they read anything I've written. I kind of write thinking that no one's going to read it, which gives me the freedom. And then I'm like always surprised when people do. So that feels good.
Yes, yes. No, I definitely remember your name coming up on like a lot of articles I was reading at one point. And I'm like, who is this expert? We must dike out. And now we are. So I'm glad about that. But before we get into anything,
we got to know.
Oh, the gayest thing of the week.
Yes.
Yeah, you know, you knew it was coming. You were ready.
You know, it's funny. I thought I had a good one. And then my friend Ariel, who's like a huge fan of your podcast, was like, but wait, I have another layer to add to how gay this is. So I have to give her credit for that. So last night was the opening of Cubbyhole Bar, which has been closed for months because they've remodeled. Right. So that was already really gay that I was there at like 5 o'clock, like the first person online. I'm like, hi, little Deb. Like, here I am. But then I realized it was so much more gay after talking to Ariel because I went with my ex-girlfriend who is now dating one of my best friends.
Yes.
And it's like weird. And like that makes it even more gay. Like it wasn't weird at all. And I didn't even think about it. You know, like I would go on vacation with them. And I feel like, I don't think heterosexual people have that. Like exes or I don't
know. Definitely not as much as the queer community. I mean,
yeah, except for Taylor Swift, who's heterosexual. because remember, there's that one picture of her with like Joe Jonas and his girlfriend, and they're like all on vacation. It's like, what's going on here? What's happening?
Right. Right. I feel like friends with exes it's even a controversial topic a little bit in the lesbian community. Like some people I've dated people who really don't understand how you can be friends with an ex.
Now I want to know how was it at the Cubby with them, but also how's Cubby? Like, how was that? The reopening night, we had our show at Stonewall, so we couldn't be there.
We got spillover from people trying to get in.
Yeah.
It's what I was hoping. I'm like, great. It's a cold night. People aren't going to want to wait in line. There's going to be a huge line. They'll come to Stonewall to kill time, watch some comedy, and then try again.
Yeah. No, it was really lit up. I mean, there was like such a long line. Everyone was so happy. It was a little messy, might I say. especially like 5 o'clock. Like I wasn't sure. Like 5 o'clock, there were
at
like
five.
I saw girls like having to be escorted out.
Nuh-uh.
Yeah, oh, wow. Very young, very young. I think like, you know, maybe fake ID young.
Oh,
it was
wow.
a little messy, but all in all, the vibe was so amazing and it looks great. The floors, you know how when you go to Cubby, if you go to the back, you're like really close to the ceiling. And if you go to the front, you're not, because it's like the floors are uneven. And yeah. it always gives me vertigo because I run sort of dizzy anyway, which is like, explains a lot about my mental illness. But yeah, now like it's all even and everyone was great spirits.
That's so funny. When I was telling people that it was temporary closed, I'm like, because they're putting in a new floor and they're like a second floor. I'm like, where could they possibly do? Like, right. no, just like a new bottom floor.
Right. I mean, I love Cubby so much. Like, it's yeah. my favorite. It was my first lesbian bar and it just has such a special place in my heart. It just doesn't feel like queer New York without some Cubby holes. So it was great.
Yeah.
I feel like the world is like reopened now that Cubby's back.
Officially.
Right.
We're yeah. back. Deb's back.
Yeah.
Let's go. Yes. I mean, her. I was getting concerned for her.
Right.
like she's, we need her back in Cubby. Like,
I know.
Like, what else? What is she doing?
Right.
She was so excited, but she's also so sweet. She messaged me to apologize and she was like, we were hoping to open the week earlier and we're so sorry we're opening the same night of your show. I'm like, Debbie. You're allowed to open the same night as our monthly comedy shit like this. You need to open whenever you can. But they're just so like they just
her.
Treat everyone as me like a family. That like they're so sweet and everyone just wants to take care of everyone. And I love it so much.
I feel like little Deb needs some sort of like community award. Because she's so yes. nice to everyone. She gives people free yes. shots. She gets the free pizza on Friday for everyone, which I know, yeah. like if I was in college, that would probably be like the only meal I ate that day because I was so broke. And when you're like young, living in New York, and she just makes everyone so happy. And she's such a big yeah. heart. It's just like, she's so cool. I love her.
Yeah. Yeah.
And she's hilarious too. Just her existence, like her little videos.
She's just such a character. Yeah.
Absolutely.
Yes. Well, today we're going to be talking about the chart. And by the chart, for anybody who has never, I don't know, turned on Showtime, like we're talking about the interconnected web of queers and lesbians and the dating pool and how messy that can get. But part of why we landed on this topic was looking at two significant works of yours. One, your book, Girl Stop Passing Out in Your Makeup. Also, Girls on Jane, your scripted podcast, which felt very chart-like when,
yes.
you know, all the characters are being introduced into my line. It's like the L-word music mm-hmm. and the lines forming across the screen. But yeah, tell our listeners like a little bit more about you, these projects, and then we'll dig right into it.
All right. Well, my name is Zara Berry and I am a writer and performer. I actually found this out the other day. I've written over 3,000 articles on the internet. So hence why there's so many guides like Zara's Guide to Fly Erotic. Like you run out of shit to say. I have like the most like asinine shit out there because I've been doing this so long. And hence why I wanted to start writing fiction because I'm just like, I hate myself. I'm so bored. I've been writing about myself for so long. But yes, so I wrote a book called Girl Stop Passing Out in Your Makeup, The Bad Girl's Guide to Getting Your Shit Together. And I have a serialized fictional audio drama, which is what I've been told to call it, an audio drama, which sounds very formal and British, but it's about a group of queer women who live downtown Manhattan in the early 2000s. And they all hang out at this lesbian bar called Dolly's. And there's a lot of sex. There's a lot of drugs. There's a lot of feelings, but it's also really funny. I mean, I'm tooting my own horn, but it also like makes fun of itself. And because our community is so, it was the first time I've ever really like done a project that was fully writing about our community. And it really made me think of like, we just have the funniest characters, the funniest conversations, yeah. because when you're queer, you end up being friends and having people in your life that you would never normally have in your life.
Right.
And that I found so interesting when creating Girls on Jane. It's like, you know, one person sitting next to you is in their 70s. The next person is like 21 and goes to NYU. And then like you have everyone from like a plumber to like an heiress to some fortune. And because we all go and like, it's like church, the gay bar, we're all like gather there, like all these walks of life. It just makes for such a dynamic, I think like a dynamic plot, because you've got different personalities and age groups splashed up against each other that normally would never interact, probably not even be right on the same side of town. So yeah, that is me in a nutshell.
Love it.
Dollies, what is that based off of? I wasn't around in the early 2000s in New York, but I'm like, is that the Dollaway? Is that right, the Ellis? What are, yeah.
I would say I started going out in New York probably kind of towards the end of that. Some of it is like fantasy and research of the early 2000s. It was originally set in modern times, but then I don't know. Somehow I got this idea of setting it in the early 2000s, like pre-Obama, because I think that was a really mm-hmm. interesting time. And that's when people really leaned on gay bars. The world wasn't as safe. It's, you know, before marriage equality. And, you know, we've gotten a little spoiled in our old age. And so, a lot of it is fantasy. If I had to be honest, I would say it's probably Cubby the most, because it's a divey bar and it's small. It's not like a fancy Dalloway moment.
Okay.
Yeah.
Yeah. That it's like Cubby along with my twisted imagination.
Love it.
So, yeah.
Yeah. Did you go to the Dalloway though?
I did okay, go.
I love finding people who have heard of the Dalloway.
That was my way of being like, can I get a Dalloway story?
Yeah.
Because I'm so like so intrigued by it.
The people were so hot. Like it was just
right. It sounds like it.
Like that time.
That's what I tell everyone. I'm just like, it like think of like a lesbian bar, but like it's all the hottest ones are there.
Yeah. Like models would hang out there.
Yeah.
It was a whole scene that I haven't really seen since. I would say there was that party. I don't know if you ever went to Stiletto.
Oh, no, not Stiletto, but there's the other one that kind of stopped during the pandemic. Ellis. I think. Yeah.
You're
I
right,
imagine
yeah.
that that's kind of the same vibe, but I haven't been. Was Stiletto the same thing?
Yeah, but kind I would of? Say much, much bigger. It was on the rooftop of, I think it was the Maritime Hotel or the Dream Hotel. And it was packed. Right. Yeah, it was crazy. I guess that's also why I wanted to set it in the early 2000s, because it was also just a really interesting time in pop culture where we were worshiping like Paris Hilton and these heiresses and these personalities and became like brands and became famous for being famous. And it was even reflected in the lesbian culture, because that felt like a kind of glamorous moment, which, you know, we don't have many. So
yeah, I mean, one thing that Girls on Jane captures is kind of like this mix of people from different classes all being together. And I guess I haven't thought about that too much, but it did make me reflect like, yeah, when I'm at Cubby, I'm hanging out with people who own like multiple investment properties, and then also people who are kind of like you described, like in college, and that free pizza is like their sustenance for the day. Like,
exactly.
And they're just like trying to get anybody to get them free drinks.
Right.
And then we're just all together packed in at Cubbyhole. And it's a beautiful thing, I think.
I think it's a beautiful thing. And I think you just are such a more interesting person if you hang out with people, in particular outside of your age range. Like I have so many much, much older dyke friends. And I love to hear stories about like all the crazy shit they did and all the activism and like, oh, do you remember when the West Village had this lesbian bar and this? And then I also love like talking to college students and like hearing their takes on gender and sexuality and like dating apps and all that. So as like someone who is somewhat of a journalist, I'm like, this is fucking gold. You know, I can just go to Cubby and I have access to all these different age ranges, and everyone wants to talk and express it. I mean, I think gay people by nature are very, I think when you come out, it's like opening up Pandora's box. You've already done this really, really hard thing. And now you just can't help but be yourself and all these other parts. So like we tend to be outspoken, and people aren't shy about saying how they feel about things. And Fucking yeah. cool. Being gay is the best. Being queer is the best.
Yeah. Hard agree. Hard agree.
I love the idea that it's research. Like, we can write this all off on our taxes, all of our cubby tabs.
For sure.
Like, come on, we're working here.
Yeah, I always say that. Like, when my wife is like, really, like, you're going out again, I'm like, it's research. Okay. I have to be part of the cultural conversation.
I as am I'm an anthropologist.
Like, exactly. I'm like, do not undermine what I do. Like, okay, go. Just get away.
So the whole concept of the chart was something that I'm sure existed in communities before the L Word came about, but then it really became popular with the character of Alice Piazecki keeping this beautiful whiteboard behind her at all times with just all the hookups in West Hollywood and everyone who's dated or slept with everyone, with like Shane at the center. And like, how real is that to you? Like, do you kind of have this chart either like in your mind or in physical form?
I mean, I definitely have it in my mind. Okay. It's funny because one of the things that made me kind of scared about being gay was just growing up before the L Word came out. And then that really opened my mind. There wasn't a lot of like, if the only sort of like sexual content out there was either porn directed by straight men for straight men, or, I mean, that was really it. And we were kind of, I just remember feeling like, I don't know. And then the things you would see would really show us as very sexless people, you know, like whenever they would like make fun of us in skits, which I love, like I'm not offended by, I think it's fucking hilarious. But like, you know, it's always just like, did you pack my water socks? You know? And I'm like, shit, I'm a really sexual person. Is this going to be my life? Will you pack my water socks? And sometimes it is, but luckily I'm proud to say it's not been like that the whole time. And when I saw the L Word and I saw the chart, I was like, oh my God, like lesbians sleep around like everyone else. And like, there's hope. I just have to move to LA, which I did. But, I feel like I can go anywhere gay and run into somebody that I've hooked up with. Even like last night, my friend and I were, I'm like, does this feel like Tinder IRL? And she's like, yeah. Cause I kept seeing people. I'm like, I know you from somewhere, but I don't know. And I'm like, oh, we matched a couple of years ago and like talked or went on a date. So I do think that we, and because we're small, we're a little incestuous and there's not that many of us. And we tend to go to the same places. There's not that many gay parties. So it can get messy. You know?
Right. I mean, even I think of like my first three girlfriends, it was a web. We had all hooked up with each other in like various combinations. That's because like we were the ones we knew who existed and like lived in that area or whatever. So in some places I can imagine that the chart is real, but also feels like suffocating.
You know what's funny is I lived in Florida for a while. And it was a really small town in Florida. That gay scene felt even more like the chart. Like, I almost feel like when it's a small, small community, it's like, you can't do anything. I couldn't date. Like in the end, I was like, I have to move because I've dated everyone or I've slept with everyone or my ex or like, you know, so it just, that felt even more charty than New York. New York, you still have, there's still like mysterious people out there, you know?
For sure. New York seems to be a lot of people. And then you also get people, there's always like, people moving in to the city.
Right.
So there's always kind of
some new blood.
New blood. But then also still feel like I run into the same people all the time.
My wife has a joke that like when you move to New York, you know, Stacey Lentz, who owns the co-owner of the Stonewall. Stacey Lentz. And like, it's like going to Ellis Island, you get a new name and then you're on the island. And it's so true. I'm like, I moved to New York. I met Stacey Lentz. And then like all of a sudden you're like part of this thing. And you know, everyone knows who you dated or slept with. And it's like there are very few secrets. It would be very hard to have, I think, an affair in the gay world. And when I've seen it happen, it usually does not end pretty. People find out.
Oof.
Yeah.
I mean, it is a small gay world. Even like guests of ours, if we promote the podcast or I'll share something on my stories, I'll get a DM from a random girl in the Midwest who's like, yeah, that's my ex. Like, I don't know. Right, like, it's right. just so connected, this web.
Right.
Freaks me out.
I feel like Stacey Lynch should give out like Twitter verification check marks or something. Like queers, like certified queer in New York. I've got like the Stacey Lynch blue check mark. I am who I say I am.
That's so funny. Yeah, I mean, I feel like also, I don't know, do you think we're more like chatty and gossipy about who we're hooking up with than in like...
Yeah, probably. I mean, my first instinct was to be like, no, we're like everybody else. No, we're not. Fucking crazy. Drama follows us. And my theory about that is I think we're all in a delayed adolescence because growing up, you know, like I feel like sometimes like a 16-year-old, like a horny 16-year-old boy, like, you know, my entire teenage years were kind of a lie. You know, I had one girl that I had a secret thing with. But besides that, I did have boyfriends and I never connected with them sexually or really emotionally, like in an intimate way. It was more of a friend type thing. So when I came out and I came on the scene, I was like, oh my God, like now I get it. Now I get why everyone's so obsessed with sex and wants to like talk about who their crush is and da da da. And I think a lot of heterosexual people kind of calmed down from that. They got it out of their system in high school where we're like, right. What's the gossip? You know, it's like, we're like in the cafeteria. What's the gossip? Who's she sleeping with? What's her type? You know, did you hear this?
And also I think there's like a bigger chance that we know that person. So like, for example, if like some comedians like, oh, did you hear like this comic's hooking up with this guy? I'm like, oh, there's so many guys in comedy. Like I can't keep them straight. But then someone's like, oh, like this queer comedian's hooking up with this other queer comedian. I'm like, wait, I know every single one that exists.
Yeah. So you're telling me someone I know is hooking up with someone I know.
Someone I know, a close personal friend. Yeah.
You're just like, who at this point? Not do I know them? Who?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Who is it? Of course I know.
I mean, the chart, do you remember ourchart.com?
Yeah.
In the aughts. Yeah.
Totally. Yeah.
So that was the website Showtime Eileen Shanky put out based off the chart on the L word. It was like sort of the digital arm of the show for a while, but then it turned into its own kind of thing. It was social. You could make a profile on it. It was how I started talking to girls for the first time way before I came out. And I was going through my Facebook and someone popped up on my feed the other day and I was like, who is this? Like, who is this person? I can't figure out how I know them, but like it says we've been friends since 2007. Like who, like it finally realized like, yeah, I have these connections. And I saw they were attending a party that I was thinking of going. I was like, whoa, I can still run into people from the literal chart from the
aughts. It's crazy. I was just in LA last week and I like ran into a group of girls I knew when I was 18, when I moved there. Cause I wasn't kidding when I was like, I went straight to LA. After watching the L word, I'm like, I want to go where the lesbians are. And
wanted to do that too. Yeah.
it was good. It was interesting. I was underage. So I remember I like would always sneak in like the back entrance and my friend would sweet talk like the bouncer. And I don't know. It was definitely a really, really good time, but very different than New York. But I ran into, you know, a group and then it turns out like they're good friends with someone I know from New York. So it's definitely real. The gay connection is real. And I don't hate it. Is it sometimes make it hard to date? Because it's like, you know, I do believe in the code of like not dating someone my friend has dated, but like,
that was going to be my next question.
Shit. You know, like you've dated everyone.
Right.
So I mean, that gets complicated.
Yeah. It's hard to know. Again, I think so many things are like a case by case basis and like everybody kind of feels different about it. But I do know situations where people maybe have had like a handful of dates with someone and then that person and it doesn't work out. And then that person starts dating a friend of theirs. And then it's like, hey, that's not cool. And it's like, well, you weren't going to be with them. Right. So. And like, we have such limited choices that like, especially, I don't know. I think I get like a lot more like righteous about it when it's like straight people. If it's like my straight friend's ex-boyfriend and I'm like, oh yeah, off limit. He's off limit for everyone unless it's like must be his soulmate and has to have like a certain waiting period before you could even think of starting that.
Right.
But with queer women, I'm like, yeah, you know, life is short and it's a small pond. And
yeah. I mean, one of my best friends is with my ex that I was with for a really long time, like 6 years. Right. We lived together and I am so for it. I'm like, I know you guys are both awesome people.
Yeah.
We aren't together for a reason. I'm happily married with someone I'm obsessed with. Like, go for it. I think you guys are great together. And then the funny thing is like me and my friend will now talk shit about her. She's like, did she used to do this? I'm like, yeah, she fucking did it all the time. I can't believe that's still an issue. Like, God, can she go to therapy already? You know, we talk like shit about her. So, but it's also,
I'm sure she loves that.
I'm sure she fucking loves it.
Wow. That is a reason not to be friends with your exes right there. So that they don't team up.
But like, I'm still really good friends with my ex. And I'll tell her like, I can't believe you pulled that shit with her. Like, really? And she's like, I know I fucked up. And then I'll go to her and I'm like, you know, Megan and I are fighting and am I being an asshole? Like, is this my pattern? She says it's my pattern. She's like, it's your fucking pattern. So it's kind of sacred to have a person that knows, because how we are in relationships, I don't know about you guys. I think we're so different in relationships than friendships. I would never pull on my friends what I've pulled with people I'm dating. And I'm not saying that's a good thing, but you know, different sides, it can be so triggering dating someone and like different sides of you come up and childhood shit and the way you're raised, where friends, I have like, I don't fight with my friends. It's like very tranquil. I'm very confident that I'm a good friend, but I can be fucking nutty when I'm dating. So to have a friend that knows that side of me, because my friends, you know, we all think each other is perfect, you know?
Right.
So it's kind of like sobering to have that.
Yeah, that's a really good point. Oh, I'm like, and we're staying together and all my secrets will be safe till I die. We're going to stay together forever.
Right. I mean, not to like be, it's not that I'm such an asshole. It's like, I feel also like, it's almost like we're in a throuple, but I'm like the consultant for their brand or something. Cause if I knew it would really bother her, I would never do that. But she's like, yeah, get involved, like help my relationship. So we're all, you know, I don't know. It's a very gay, it's gay as fuck.
Oh yeah. I love it.
As a podcast network, our first priority has always been audio and the stories we're able to share with you. But we also sell merch, and organizing that was made both possible and easy with Shopify. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell and grow at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage. Whether you're selling scented soap or offering outdoor outfits, Shopify helps you sell everywhere. They have an all-in-one e-commerce platform and in-person POS system. So wherever and whatever you're selling, Shopify's got you covered. With the internet's best converting checkout, 36% better on average compared to other leading commerce platforms, Shopify helps you turn browsers into buyers. Shopify has allowed us to share something tangible with the podcast community we've built here, selling our beanies, sweatshirts, and mugs to fans of our shows without taking up too much time from all the other work we do to bring you even more great content. And it's not just us. Shopify powers 10% of all e-commerce in the U.S. Shopify is also the global force behind Allbirds, Rothy's, and Brooklinen, and millions of other entrepreneurs of every size across 175 countries. Because businesses that grow, grow with Shopify. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/realm, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/REALM now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. Shopify.com/realm.
Anna Sheridan, missing for nearly 6 months now.
I need you to find me.
The Sheridan Tapes, a serialized horror mystery podcast. Stream the complete series today on Realm and on all podcasting platforms.
Yeah, gay across the board. Like
gay across the board.
Like, the boys do it. Everyone does it. That's very real.
Yeah. I mean, I always say like that's also, what's so cool about being gay is you could travel anywhere in the world and tweet it or something like, oh, I'm here. What's something fun to do? And you'll find someone that you have some kind of connection with, you know, especially with the internet. I have internet friends, and then I've traveled to where they live and we've met up. And I don't think I would do that maybe if I wasn't queer, you know, just have this like built-in family everywhere I go, which is
right.
Yeah. Just like built-in understanding, like a connection on a level that you just don't get with everyone else.
Right. Right. If someone messages me and they're like, oh, you know, I'm queer and I'm in New York for the first time. Where should I go? And I'll say something like, oh, like my friends and I'll be at Cubby. Come join. And I don't know if I would do that with a different demographic. So kids come out. It is fabulous.
Yes.
What about then for online dating? So I know like the few times that I've been single, I haven't done online dating because I mean, like the one time where it was really something I thought about, like I was living in Atlanta and my ex I knew was online dating and I just didn't want to date anybody that they had gone on dates with, you know, I was like, I don't want to be in the same pool. We're already in a smaller city. Like, I don't want our charts to overlap. I've had enough with you, you know?
Right. I have certain exes I feel that way about too. Yeah.
Yeah. Like were you on the apps? And I feel like, you know, so many people, like, is it weird to see people, you know, on an app and like read their dating profile and it's like, does it change the way you see them?
I mean, I really went hard with the online dating because it was also kind of a job work. My first job in, as a writer was for elitedaily.com. And at the time, like I was the only gay person, queer person. I was the only like not straight person on the staff. And they like, so I had to kind of be the perspective of all of us, which is never accurate because how can one person represent an entire community? But I was all they had. So I had to go out on dates and like write about them. And you're not going to run into that many people at Cubbyhole to go on a date with. You had to get on the apps. And then also we would write a lot about just dating apps. And this probably is like a big excuse. I was just like thirsty. I was thirsty, but
Time to go to work.
Exactly. Exactly. I'm like, this is for work. It's for work. I'm going on a date every night for work. It's like, no, sorry, you're just horny, but you know, whatever makes you sleep better at night. But yeah, I did a lot of it and it is weird. And it's still weird because sometimes I had an experience recently where somebody introduced me to someone I went on a date with. And I was like, oh, we've met. And the girl was like, I don't think we have. And I'm like, oh, okay. Must have been, we're doing this. Okay. We're lying. Like, oh, must look like someone, you know? And then she DM'd me and apologized. But like, it's fucking weird. Like I said, it feels like Tinder IRL because every big party you go to, you're bound to see a couple people you've been on like a shitty date with, or maybe you spoke to on the apps and didn't follow up with. And, you know, or the same happened to you. Like you were talking every day and then all of a sudden you stopped and then you run into them. What do? You've never met in real life. Ooh, yeah. It adds a whole other layer of codependency to our already very codependent culture.
Yeah. I mean, ghosting is something that is sort of a side effect of the dating apps. I just feel like we can't be ghosting as much as straight people because the chances of you running into the person you ghosted are so much higher.
Right.
In the queer world, like there's only so many parties, so many lesbian bars, like you're going to run into that person. So I wonder if ghosting's like in comparison to straight people, much
I don't
lower.
Think it's as bad. I mean, one of my straight best friends, like when I just see what she puts up with, as far as the ghosting goes, like a weekend spent together, hanging out for 3 months, go on vacation, and then radio silence. Mm-hmm. It just blows my mind because again, like you could never get away with that in this community. And I always feel like your reputation would be a little tarnished, you know, if you just fell off the face and you hear it, you hear about it. Like that's the,
right.
When I think of the people, like I know that have experienced it, like now I know, you know? So it's wild.
Yeah. I feel like that's the other thing. It's like, because the community is so much small that like, if, if you are a nightmare to date or if you've done something really terrible, that's going to probably get out there and travel. But at the same time, I feel like because the pool's so small that people are like, well,
yeah, fuck it.
Yeah, I can live with that. I'll overlook all those red flags.
Right.
This person's
hot. I once dated a woman who, I don't know what got into me, but I just decided I didn't want to date someone in New York. And I think I was just trying to make my life unmanageable. Like, let's throw in long distance as well as like, you can hardly pay your rent and you're struggling, right? Or let's have a long distance affair now. I think I needed like the dopamine. So I ended up like actively seeking someone not in New York, lived out of state. And actually I wrote about this in my book and it was actually kind of scary. It kind of gave me a little insight into what our heterosexual counterparts must go through when dating. I had no, you know, again, even with my wife, like Stacey Lentz was like, oh, Megan's one of my best friends. I heard you guys matched. And then she told my wife, oh, I see Zara all the time. You know, like we knew each, I knew she was a real human, you know?
Yeah.
So I end up going to see this girl out of state by myself. We've never met in person. And it turned into the most toxic 6 months of my life. And
oh, no.
Yeah. Yeah. It was crazy. Like I just, from the minute I met her, I should have walked away. You know, when that happens, like she insulted me, told me I hide behind my makeup because like,
no,
I don't have self-esteem and like I wear jewelry to like hide who I am. And it's like, no, I just love fashion. Like all these really sort of femme phobic, like undermining feminine, like all that shit.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And I remember going into the bathroom and being like, get the fuck out, like get on a train, go. But I didn't. I ended up sleeping with her on the first date and being in a relationship for 6 months. That was like wildly toxic. But I remember someone reached out to me afterwards and was like, I know you were dating someone from her community, this woman. And I just want to say like, no one will date her here because she's so abusive emotionally and crazy. And, you know, and I remember she always kind of kept me out of the gay scene there. I'd be like, well, let's go to a gay bar. And, yeah, it's like her reputation. She had to date out of state, not because she was bored, but because
that was an actual necessity. Yeah.
So it's kind of like, you know, my friends that are straight, they never know what they're going to get when they take a risk and date. And we kind of do, you know, for the most part, not all the time, but.
Wow.
Yeah.
That is interesting. That also makes me think, you like, the red in the gay flag, it represents red flags. And like, that's a huge part of the experience and the culture.
And people don't seem to want to hide them, you know?
No. Just celebrate them. Make TikToks about them. It's just a part
I have to say, I one time wrote an article called I Laid Out All of My Red Flags on a First Date and This Is What Happened. And it sounds like it was like I was calculated doing it, like, which I did do things like that. But at that time, no, I just had a fucking bad day. Like bunch of bad shit had happened. We got to the date. She's like, how are you? It's a first date. I'm like, fucking horrible. My antidepressants aren't working. I just switched from Prozac to Lexapro. I feel really dizzy. Actually, do you mind if we switch seats? Because this like mural behind the wall is like giving me agita. We switch seats. And then she's like, so, and then I end up telling her everything. She then tells me everything. And it was kind of the best date ever. And we're still friends.
I love a queer trauma dump,
right?
Date.
It's such it is like textbook trauma bonding. You know?
That's so funny.
But it was weird because like, I remember midway kind of leaving my body in the date and I'm like, Zara, you're just really fucking up. Like, what the fuck are you doing? And then I just couldn't stop. Then it became like compulsive. I'm like, share the worst thing. I'm like, my cousin's in prison. They think you, like all
it's
this
like a game.
Like, here's this, here's that, you know, I have OCD. When I was little, I thought I had AIDS for masturbating, like all these like facts, like no one needs to know, especially on a first date. But like, again, and this is where our community can be really special. Like, I think it like maybe turned her on. Like, we're like red flag. Oh, okay. Like I always
say, I'm telling you. Yeah.
Right.
I mean, as somebody that used to like love to like find a fixer upper. I was like, no, I can save you.
Yeah,
I could see loving a red flag date. I mean, like,
right. Mm-hmm. Yeah, I used to be challenge like that accepted. Too. I remember this one girl crying to me about her ex on a date, and we were on a date, and I like counseled her. I'm like, this is okay. Like, what's wrong with me? Leave. She's not over her ex. And I was like, oh my God, I fully understand. Like, yeah.
Dang.
Yeah.
It also makes me think, like, I wonder, I mean, I kind of know why there are some queers that like go after quote unquote straight women.
Yes.
But I'm like, is part of it challenge, but part of it because nobody in the community will date you? Like, cause you need to go outside.
Yeah. I mean, I think it's a little bit of both. I will say one thing I learned in my career as a sex and dating writer was that women's largest sexual organ is their brain. And sometimes, and I think this is where there's a great book called Lesbian Love Addiction, and it's kind of about this. And sometimes we have the tendency to date toxic people or go after someone who's confused about their sexuality or even claims like, hey, I'm not even into women, but we still go and pursue them. I think the mental stimulation can kind of bleed into the turn on. Like, I mean, I'm sure you guys know people that they seem just addicted to drama. Like if someone is stable and healthy and you want to set them up, you're like, oh, they're probably not. They like someone in a complicated thing. And I think that has to do a little bit with our libido being so connected to our brains. It's like we need an extra layer of complexity sometimes to be turned on, unless we get therapy, which I did. And it worked. I don't know. What do you think of that?
I think you're right. I mean, like, yeah, I haven't thought about it, but I have a few friends who tend to go for straight girls. This all tracks with what might be going on behind those eyes.
Right.
And that's very real. But I do love the idea, Carolyn, of someone just going to straight girls because like that person you went on a date with, they're just so not tolerated by the queer scene they're in.
Right.
Kind of funny.
I think it's a little bit of both. I mean, have you ever dated someone who claimed to be straight or?
My girlfriend like really fell for a girl who would only tell her, who would tell her that she was only gay for her, that she wasn't attracted to any other woman. It's just like this, it's just me and you. And otherwise I don't feel it for any, like, and she was clearly closeted. That's the thing too. Like you're just, I think a lot of us just assume that the person's not out yet. Like not that they're straight, that they're just like,
they
haven't figured it out, but like feel sort of a connection and they go for it. But
yeah,
I've never had that.
No, I've never been somebody's like first woman that they've been with.
Yeah.
At least that I know. I mean,
me neither.
Yeah. No significant connection that I've had. Like, I know that I've definitely like made out with people in bars randomly.
Right.
You know, few words were exchanged, so I would not know.
right.
Don't know their names.
Yeah. But yeah, that was never like something that was appealing to me.
Yeah. I mean, it's a kink. It's like a kink for some people, you know?
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's kind of wild. And I think like some of that is rooted in insecurity too. Like, I guess like the validation, like I must be hot if this person or interesting or amazing or good enough, if this person who isn't even attracted to my gender is attracted to me. And I think sometimes with age and confidence, like that kink can be quelled because it doesn't normally end well. Sometimes it does. Sometimes people get married. Sometimes people aren't out, but sometimes it ends in a lot of tears.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean the show, I don't know if you've seen, Feel Good with Mae Martin, but that explores so that good. In such a great way and really hits at least from Mae's experience, like what might be those underlying issues that drive that behavior.
Right. I mean, I just, for me, it's never been something that I've been interested in because I think it took me so long to not be ashamed, you know, growing up and just so much shit, like growing up with so much homophobia, not from my family, but like in school and all this. Like I was a teenager when people said gay as in like gross or like terrible. Like that's so gay, right. You know? So I think I always harbored all this shame and so many, I think if you harbor shame, it's shame is poison. It makes you hurt yourself. And like, that's why it's used as a tactic in controlling relationships or even religions or countries. So like I had all that. And then the idea of then being with someone who wanted to keep me a secret or wasn't sure if they even were into me. I think it would be too triggering. I think it would bring that up. And I worked so hard to get rid of it. So I think it can bring up a lot for people.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Oof.
Yeah. Yeah. Sorry to take it so dark. I have a tendency to do that. Like my wife's like, you're the worst like dinner party person. I'm like, so do you want to talk about major depressive disorder? Did you hear about the suicide? She's like, stop, Sarah. Like
no small talk with you.
No.
Yeah.
No.
I mean, I think you're in good company because we kicked off our show last night. I'm like, let's talk about Auschwitz.
Yeah. All of a sudden we're doing...
I'm like my mom, her funeral, like my mom's alive, but I'm like, let's talk about my mom's future funeral. Like people are like, where am I? What's happening?
That's so funny. Yeah. My best friend, Dana and I, we have a podcast together. We're the worst. Like we'll be at a party, like weeping, like talking about like how like gays in concentration, like it gets so, or how like gay men in the 70s would all be on the porches and they'd like look at each other and like, have like they meet at a certain time and have like sex from far away, like, you know, kind of thing. And we're like weeping over it. And everyone's like, you guys are freaks.
Yeah. I love it. I love, yeah, you are in good company. I went to Reese Beach last summer and I met a girl who's bisexual. We were new friends and like we had just met that day. And within 2 hours, we were crying at the shoreline, like waist deep in the water about our childhood trauma. Like, and it was like, it just felt like because it was at Reese Beach, it was just like, yeah, this is fine. Like, we can do this. Someone's probably doing it right over there. Like,
right. Every lesbian party, there's always like, tears, or gay, any queer party, there's always that.
Right.
So I do feel like, another reason I'm very grateful to be gay because I don't think I'd be very well received in another community. So.
I feel like that's a whole separate chart in itself is like queers who have cried together.
Oh yeah.
And like that would be another web.
Right.
Let's get that one going.
I'll get on that
one. Yeah, yeah.
Do you know anyone who has like an actual chart that they've like written out or keep track of?
The only time I ever heard of it was my friend who was in college and the lesbians and it was like the height of the L word. They made a chart. And I think she was the shame, like my friend. Yeah. But no, I don't think this, I'll have to ask my wife because she probably did. She's a little bit older and I feel like the 10 years between us, it was like they were living the L word in real time, not just like in high school, like getting turned on with like the door locked, you know? So yeah, I'll have to ask her because I feel like they did all that kind of stuff in the early aughts.
Yeah. I feel like in New York, like it would be too unwieldy. Like it'd be too big, too out of control. Like part of me wants to.
A few years ago for the L Word's like 15th anniversary, I think it was, Slate.com put together a chart of lesbians who'd appeared on the show or queer people. And then just like different celesbians they've hooked up with. I highly recommend looking
up. Oh my God. I have to look at that.
Yes.
Yeah. And they highlighted like the actual actors in it. So you have like Sandra Bernhardt, Kate Manning, Jane Lynch, but then like off of that, you've got your Sarah Paulson's on it. Sarah Gilbert's on it. Portia de Ross. Like, it's just, I love a chart. Tangible chart to look at.
Maybe that'll be my next book or something. I don't know.
Yes. Please imagine the fun research on that one.
Again, to my wife, it's just research. She's like, okay, taking this a little far.
I'm just tapping Kristen Stewart's phone for research.
Yes.
Oh, Kristen Stewart is so hot.
Yes.
I was just looking at her outfit for the Oscars and I was like, damn, she is really
so
hot.
Good. Yeah. So good. And the hair ever look, since.
All of it.
I know. It's like short, long. It looks like queer no matter how She wears it.
She was so hot on the red carpet. Even Laverne Cox stopped interviewing her and just went, "Your eyes are so gorgeous." And then thanked her and she walked away. And then she throws back to the camera and goes, "That was Kristen Stewart." She has that effect on everyone.
Yeah. I love it.
Yeah.
That melody, that chart you're talking about, I have to look it up because I want to know. I was reaching out to a musician to perform that L Word theme song at this. My friend and I wrote an L Word Christmas carol and did like a live stage reading of it. And I was like, oh, it'd be fun if we got like a queer musician to cover it. And they're like, one, I'm out of the country, but two, I hate the L Word because my ex cheated on me with one of the cast members. But that's probably TMI, and I'm like, that's not enough I.
No. Ooh,
I want names, dates,
right,
screenshots.
I feel like my pupils dilated. I'm like, wait, now I want to know.
I know. Now I can only guess because I felt nosy digging in. But yeah, there must have been so much of that on that show alone. I mean, on any show, I feel like Orange is the New Black, you know?
Yeah.
Definitely. I mean, I feel like sets are already a place, whether you're queer or not, are already a place where, you know, because it's kind of like being at camp or something where, or the gay bar, where maybe you wouldn't know these people otherwise, but you're together and you're in your own world and you have this like hot affair and then you go back into the regular world and you're like, this doesn't work. Out of this bubble, you know?
Right.
But you don't see anyone else. No one else gets what you're doing. No one wants to hear you complain about like the long hours. They're like, bitch, you're working on a movie. Like, shut up. But like, you can only really connect with those other people. So
yeah,
it lends itself to an affair.
For sure. For sure.
I couldn't help myself and had to drop the chart in the Zoom chat for you both.
Oh,
so you could look at it immediately.
Yes. Oh, here we go. Okay. Pulling up. Wait. Who's bitch?
Oh, I know bitch. Bitch.
Oh,
see, I'm looking at this chart.
Bitch is.
I'm going. Who's bitch? You know bitch.
Oh my god! So there was this band that I discovered in high school called Bitch and Animal. Have you ever heard of them?
No.
Mm-hmm. Okay, so they were this like completely queer band. Bitch was one of them. There was Animal and Bitch. But I will never forget.
Someone did tell me about them.
Okay, they were so good. They had a song called "The Best Cock on the Block," and it was about a dildo and like how it's eternally hard. And I remember listening to it in the car, like listening to their album, not knowing that was going to. This has happened to me with two lesbian songs. Listening to it in the car with my parents, and all of a sudden they're talking about like how this dildo is eternally hard and like the best cock on the block and everything. And I was like, shoot me. Like, if there is a God, like strike me down dead. And I distinctly remember my dad saying like, sorry, are you gay? And I was like, ew, no. And meanwhile, I was like, I can't wait to listen to the song alone.
All right. Well, bitches on this chart connected to Daniela C.
Right. Because they might even still be together.
Oh, okay. Yeah. That is the only one Daniela is connected to.
Yeah, I think they were together that whole time or maybe even still are. I don't know. Such a gay thing. I saw Bitch perform at the Indigo Girls concert in Central Park, talk about seeing every ex you've never wanted to run into. Everyone was at the Indigo Girls.
Of course.
Hold on. Kelly McGillis and Whitney Houston. What?
Yeah.
That doesn't surprise me.
I'm telling you this chart.
Yeah.
Do you see it, Zara?
Yeah, I'm looking at it right now.
This is derailed.
I'm sorry. I need you guys to see it.
You can't throw up a graphic with Whitney Houston's name on it.
Right.
You know, she's connected to Robin Crawford, of course, but that I was expecting. And then, boom, Kelly McGillis, who's also connected to Jodie Foster.
Oh, a rumored love triangle.
Oh, my God.
What?
Yeah.
Wow.
I mean, I feel like already like this could be expanded, like and updated.
Yeah. Right. This is just from 2019.
Right. Yeah.
Right.
Madonna. Oh yeah, that's, come on. So many people came out and have been hooking up since the pandemic.
Right.
To really add some layers to this one.
I didn't know that Madonna and Sandra Bernhard, I knew they were friends, but I didn't know Madonna and Sandra Bernhard.
It's not confirmed, but like everybody kind of assumed it, but like things between them aren't great.
Okay.
Right now. Yeah. They're very.
Right.
I don't know.
I knew Jenny Shimizu and Madonna because she spoke about it. Like I remember in an interview that I read in middle school and I was like, oh my God, who is this person? I was so intrigued.
Yeah. She said Madonna used to like fly her around when she was on tour just to sleep with her.
I mean, Madonna, Angelina, Jenny Shimizu is...
Ultimately, all we're ever trying to do is add to the chart.
Yeah. I feel it. Big I feel macro it. I'm into chart. It.
Yes.
I think I smell a book deal with all of us. Right. We all go in on this and pitch it. Like, who's going to say no to that? Simon & Schuster doesn't even know what they're in for.
We need funds to investigate this thoroughly. Right. I mean, imagine just calling up these people and being like, okay, we need to go over all of your previous sexual relationships.
Right. It would be
for
fun.
The literary community.
Exactly. In the name of art.
If you're resistant, what are you, not saying gay? Come on.
Right. Are you sex negative? Like, don't shame the gays by acting like gay sex is taboo. Tell me who you've slept with in the name of sex positivity.
Speaking of, what are your thoughts on like faux pas about like kissing and telling?
Maybe because like my mom's English, I do think I have a little bit of, it's the only prim thing about me. Like I am not prim. I write about my sex life. I talk about my sexuality. None of that shames me at all at this stage, but I don't think you should really kiss and tell. Like when I write articles about people, whatever I've slept with, all that stuff, I change every physical detail about them because I don't think like they didn't sign up for this, you know, and everyone's going through their own thing. And yeah, I'm pretty coy about that. What about, I mean, not with my best friend, obviously.
Yeah. But with your friends, you tell.
Oh, my friends, we tell each other like, my friends and I are so, we have no boundaries at all.
Yeah. Like,
my friend, and this is like maybe TMI, one of our best friends was saying that she couldn't fit like a menstrual cup inside of her because she thought she had a really shallow vagina. And my friend fingered her to let her know if she did or not. And it was the least sexual thing in the world. Yeah. I mean, I've already talked about this on a podcast, so she can't get mad at me, but like... Yeah. Like she was like, I'll tell you. And she was like, yeah, like, you know, tell me. And she was like, no, it's not that shallow. Like,
oh my God, I guess I have no friends because no one's stepping up.
Right.
What the fuck, guys?
Yeah. And then we like casually mentioned it. And someone was like, wait, backtrack. You fingered her to tell her. And she was like, yeah. And I was like, yeah, is that weird? They were like, yeah, it's kind of weird. Okay.
Yeah.
I'm like, you don't think
I thought you were going to say she like, the shocking thing was that she like put it, inserted it for her, helped her out with it. Like,
yeah.
When you say finger, I can't get over this.
Like actually fingered her.
Like to completion.
Did she put them in and then like,
no orgasms. Were
just extinct. She inserted a couple fingers.
A couple fingers, like, felt around, dug around. It was like exploring like, okay, whoa. Well,
does your friend not have healthcare? Like, does she not have a gynecologist that can tell
her? She works in healthcare. Yeah,
amazing.
I think we're just so codependent, all of us. It's like,
great.
You know, like my best friend will like sleep in the bed with me and my wife. I'll sleep in the bed with like her and her partner. We just, the boundaries are during COVID, like we all kind of quarantined together. And I'm like, we just took it to new heights. You know?
Yeah. She's like, listen, I don't work in mental health care. Okay. I didn't
Exactly. And she needed like, you know, a queer perspective. And she's like, my gynecologist isn't queer. She's not going to know. You know, I don't know.
Wow.
Yeah. It's so funny. I mean, it's been different for me over the years, but usually like I won't say anything about like my sex life with the person I'm with. I'm just like very... I'm like easing up a little bit. I grew up Catholic, have like a lot of Catholic guilt. Even right. like with my therapist, I use like euphemisms when I talk about sex.
Interesting.
And she's like, what are you trying to say? Just say it. Just right. say it. And I'm like,
right. I could use some of what you have. Like, I feel like, yeah. I mean, again, I don't broadcast to the world, but I've just written about my sex life so much. I don't broadcast sure. the exact people, but like,
right.
I feel like I could use a little bit of like restraint. Like, I'm too comfortable yeah. at this point. You know, I mean, I was a sex and dating writer for so long that like yeah. our brainstorming sessions in a corporate office would be like the sex we had over the weekend, you know? Oh my
so, God. Right.
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah.
Yeah. I just think like the times where I've had like said something, I'm like, oh, this like crazy thing happened. Let me tell you. And then like a day later, I regret it because I'm like, oh, actually, like now I feel bad. I don't know.
Right.
Like
right.
I shouldn't. So it's.
Well, you think about hard. It like on the other end, like someone talking about you in bed, you know, like it's.
Right. I wouldn't love it.
I mean,
or I would. I don't know. One time, like,
is it glowing reviews? Is it? Yeah.
Let's talk about case by case. Like, yes. that is a case I mean, by case.
Yeah. Exactly. I remember I met my wife at work, and she was good friends with my boss. And that's how she ended up getting like referred to the position. And when we started sleeping together, she had like told my boss about her sex oh. life. And then my boss like made some comment to me, but like, and she's cool. Like we were friends and stuff. And it was like it was a glowing review. And she's like, well, she did say this about it. And I was like, what? I'm like, I can't believe she told it. I was just like so embarrassed, but also like, okay.
right. Yeah, I broadcast everything, but so does everyone I know because I'm a comedian and everyone I know right. is in comedy. Like,
right,
and
right.
my girlfriend's a comedian. So, like, I'll hear from someone else that she was talking about, like, something I did in bed on stage. Like, it's right. just like when I literally hooked up with Allie for the first time ever, I went home to my apartment and my roommate, who is also a queer comedian, goes, Allie Clayton, huh? Yeah, I've done that. Or like been there. 60, she goes, you know, 69, not really my thing. And just like said that about my future girlfriend to me and had no right. problem doing it. Cause that's just like right. the affliction we have. Like we can't not overshare. So I don't
right.
know.
Right. It's a compulsion. I mean, if you think about the medium of writers and comedians and a lot of artists, like there is a deep desire to share things. I think that yeah. that's what a lot of it is rooted in, whatever form you take, like you have this desire to express yourself and it's like, you can't help it. You know, it's yeah. crazy. Like I'm the same way, you know, and it mm-hmm. makes for such, I mean, and sex makes for such rich content, you right, know, yeah, right. not just like sexy content. And that's the thing I never really talk about or write for that matter, like sexy things. It's usually about just the nuance and like the embarrassing moment or like the inner dialogue or the anxiety, whatever it is. But yeah, because sex brings up, I just feel like sex is at the core of who we are in a lot of ways too. So it just, it like relationships, it brings up so much of like how you see yourself and things from like growing up Catholic or growing up in my case with like right. a mom who was a model that modeled nude in the 70s, you know, like raised so differently. So it's yeah. like, it's really interesting.
Yeah.
I remember hearing like a porn star once say like, I just never understood why anyone would want to make a movie about anything else. And I kind of was like, I kind of get it. Like it's such a fascinating topic, you know? It's so cool. Yeah. And it's something you can't control. I think that's part of it too. Like I'm kind of a control freak and like I have a lot of like workaholism and all this stuff and like ambition. But when it comes to like sex, you can't really control your desires, you know? So yeah.
Can't believe we didn't ask your sign in the 11th hour.
I mean, what I was going to say sign? It's not a lesbian podcast without
I know.
That. I'm a Taurus, Scorpio rising.
Okay.
And Aquarius moon. What about you?
That's fun. We love to hear the Taurus, obviously bond on the earth sign connection. We're both Capricorns.
Okay. Both Capricorns and I'm Cap rising Taurus moon.
Okay.
Cap rising Virgo moon.
Capricorns and Tauruses I have a lot of Capricorn friends.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Like I feel like we get shit done, you know?
I love Taurus friends, lovers. I've just always connected with a Taurus. I love it.
I feel like Capricorns are hard to crack, like dating wise. Like there's, that's why I think I went through a huge Capricorn phase. I think that was like part of it. Like, let me, like, there's like a little bit of guarded and like self-preservation, you know, not like displaying your red flags and oversharing like me in the dating sense. I don't know. Does that sound true? Or am I just generalizing? No,
it is. I wonder why I overshare, because that is supposed to be the deal with Capricorn. Someone told me it's because I'm a 12th house Capricorn. And it's like when you look into the houses or like right. your other planetary positions, like my Venus is in Sagittarius. So that's right. like how you love and your relationships. And that's like super like flighty. When I was all over the place, couldn't stay with one person, hooking up. But yeah, they were notoriously hard to crack, hard to read, I've been told.
Yeah.
I don't think that that's true for me at all.
Interesting. Yeah.
But I mean, I'm on my second marriage. Like I was, you know, just dating like back to back long term relationships. Cause like once, you know, I'll go on a couple dates with someone and then I'm very like, I know like what I want.
Right.
I'm down to talk about it. I'm not like playing games. I'm just right. like, all right, you know?
right. Yeah. The Capricorns always seem responsible to me. A friend of mine at one time, she worked with Madonna, like on a fitness thing. And her assistant came up to her right beforehand and was like, are you like, I forget what sign it was. Like, are you a Virgo? And she was like, no. She's like, oh, thank God. Like Madonna doesn't want any Virgos in the house. And like, it probably wasn't Virgo. Madonna probably is a Virgo. I cannot remember for the
life. No, she's a Leo.
A Leo. Okay. Right. Yeah. So it's just like, I could never like, that would never be a red flag for me. Someone's astrological sign.
Yeah.
That's such a funny story.
Yeah.
Madonna is nuts.
I mean, that's like what happens when you're so famous. I feel like it's so hard to stay grounded because anyone else saying things like that, you'd get told like you're acting like, you know, crazy. And when you're a celebrity, yeah. everyone's on your payroll. And then you just, you know, you don't realize, you don't have a good gauge of like your crazy factor. Whereas right, I'm reminded right. all the time, like when I do anything right. crazy.
Yeah. I feel like Sunday was a good reminder for everyone how unaware some people are of their crazy factor.
I was just going to say. the Oscars.
Oh, the Oscars. Oh, yeah. Yeah, 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 yeah.
It's just a full pageant of unaware people.
I know. I was like, is Hollywood okay?
Yeah. No.
No.
Yeah. We got to reboot it.
Yeah.
Seriously. We need just start fresh, new celebs.
Sage it. Reboot and sage.
Like group therapy. I don't know. AMD, like some kind of therapy. Medication. Yeah. I was just in LA and it was fucking unhinged. But
wait, how was it unhinged?
You know, and I used to live there and my family lives there. So I understand like the expected LA, it seemed extra unhinged. I don't think the pandemic was good for LA because I think that you're already a little isolated when you live there since everything's so far. Yeah, so the right. extra isolation just made everyone batty and like reactive and like, and also like with the industry, you know, the main industry being film and like, how much things were slowed down. So many people are out of work and like, I don't know, becoming, I met like three women that are like, I'm now a life coach, like with like glitter in their eyes. And I'm like, you know, like it's like people exploring their second careers, which I'm all for, but it was like a little loony. Like everyone's becoming like a life coach or like a manifestation coach.
Yeah.
A lot of coaches. Yeah.
Yeah.
That I do know at least three people
me too.
Who have changed careers to coaching.
To
so
coaching, yeah.
exactly. What thinking of a particular rich lesbian out in LA doing that exact thing.
Right. Love it.
Right.
Oh man. Well, we do have to wrap up, but tell our listeners where they can follow you, where you'd like them to get your book. Obviously, you can listen to Girls on Jane wherever you listen yes. to podcasts.
Yes.
Even though it's not a podcast, it is
an audio drama.
Yes.
Which sounds really nerdy, and I promise it's not. But yeah. You can get that on any streaming platform or girlsonjane.com where you can read it if you prefer that. Though we do have like really cool sound and music and it's like very, I think it's a beautiful production, but some yes. people definitely prefer to read. So that's why I made it like, you know, digestible in a lot of different forms. And then I'm on Instagram at Zara Berry. And I have a podcast with my creative partner, Dana Charisi, called Girls Interrupted. We would love to have both of you on as a guest.
Yes.
If you'd be down, but it's a lot of fun. It's a, like we say, it's not a mental health podcast. It's a mental illness podcast. So we basically just talk about the harrowing and hilarious like side effects of being mentally ill. So
you're speaking my language.
Yeah,
baby.
I'm
Shelly is shaking multiple canisters.
So many,
you know what? This is great. I sometimes play the maracas with my medication.
Just have fun with it.
Seriously. At our last
it's
question.
It's never going to go away.
Yeah, exactly. Totally. Yes. Thank you for having me. This was so fun. I can't believe I didn't even realize it was 7 o'clock. So
yeah, thank you. This was so fun. So great to talk to you.
Yeah.
Thanks. And again, we will link that Celesbian chart in the show notes. Worth a look.
I keep thinking about it. I keep thinking about this investigative chart podcast. Maybe we do that. Maybe that'll be a new project for us. I would love to really just get a lot of emails saying no and who are you from people that we reach out to being like, are you willing to talk about these lesbians you've slept with?
And error messages because we've been blocked. Yeah.
Great. Fun times. Well, we have a short and sweet listener question this week.
So short, so sweet. How did you accept yourself for being gay? Did you struggle? Because you seem like you had a pretty well-adjusted, what's up, I'm gay, I'm in high school, I have a girlfriend, life's good situation.
No, I definitely struggled on my way there because I definitely remember I had I had a diary and I would write things. I found it like years later and I'm sad that I threw it out because I found some old diaries and I was like, ooh, these are sad. And I don't remember being this sad that time in my life, but I guess it was. I mean, who wasn't?
Yeah.
But I remember writing, like, there's something wrong with me.
Oh, no.
Yeah. And, like, I felt like I was losing my mind when I was realizing that I was gay. And I didn't really, it took me longer, even though, okay, I say it took me longer than it should have. But there is that, like, time that you're in denial. Like, I'm, you know, on LimeWire trying to find like lesbian content, whether it's like porn or scenes, like same sex kissing scenes, like obsessively like trying to find that, but like not realizing that I'm a lesbian.
Exactly.
Like fantasizing about, you know, oh, I wish I was like a man so that one day I could have like sex with Madonna. like that kind of thinking. I didn't really realize it. I was going to church regularly. I was like a confirmed Catholic. And what did it for me, the accepting it, was once I did get my first girlfriend and how right it felt and how everything made sense, just in terms of like, oh, this is a feeling that all my friends have been experiencing before. And I've just been like very confused, but like now my body is responding. Like now it makes sense that the way, like the fact that my hands sweat around this one girl I work with, like, it's because I'm gay. And like once that it was just like something clicked in me and I was like, well, I can't fight this. Like nothing has felt more natural to me. So that was kind of like why I accepted it. So like leading up to it, there was kind of like this struggle of like, ooh, no, something's wrong, like you're bad.
Yeah, you just unlocked a memory with the LimeWire. Just anything that had enough seeds on it. Was that
right?
The lingo on Kazaa or, right. you know, just any kind of kissing scene, porn scene, anything. Yeah. And that's, I just grew up not even realize, like, exactly like you said, I was like, no, just everyone's attracted to women. Like, women right. are attracted. I don't, right. like, everyone knows that. Like, yeah. I didn't, it took me so long to realize that there were attitudes towards it that might, like, get me killed if I went to Iran. Like, all of the cultural stuff.
Right.
And it didn't help that my dad would literally say, are you gay? Like, yeah. that, like, in an accusatory way. I was just talking to Lindsay Bowling. I think she has a joke about it in her set about how her mom took her out to dinner and was like, man, I just wish if someone was gay, anyone I knew was gay, they just tell me. I wish if I knew a gay person, they'd just let me know. So much shame from parents. But
yeah,
I didn't have a problem. I don't think accepting that part of me had a problem with shame around anything sexual. And we live in the US, there's so much shame around sex and masturbation, and I was right. masturbating to women, and it felt like I was always looking up porn in secret on the family computer, like, of so course. Everything was like shrouded in this secrecy that right. shame was attached to, that because I otherwise didn't struggle too much with queerness. I didn't grow up with religion. I had like family I just knew I'd never probably see in Iran. Otherwise, my parents were pretty liberal, except for the accusatory questioning.
Right.
But it used to be a joke growing up. Melody's so gay.
Yeah.
Like, it was just, I don't know how much I struggled.
Like, I wasn't like coming out to everybody in high school. Like, I did tell my friends because I felt like it was a lot of lying and sneaking around at first, and they got suspicious because I went from like never, you know, hooking up with anyone or having these like not like kind of fake crushes to fit in, whatever, to all of a sudden like having a hickey on my neck and my friends being like, where the fuck did that come from? And me being like, you know, in an actual relationship that I was excited about. And like, I couldn't hide that. So I'm like, well, I guess I have to tell people, but I don't want everyone to know. But in terms of, but I accepted the gayness. So I think there's a difference between like coming out to people
yes.
and accepting the fact that you're gay. And for me, it really was like, once I had that first experience, I was like, there's nothing to do but accept this. Like, this is so strong.
Right.
I can't fight this as much. It's just the most natural feeling and makes the most sense. So I'm going to accept this and embrace it because this is my normal. This is actually like a big, this is how I love, how I feel. So to not accept that would be going back to where I was before, which was this like not being able to understand everyone around me, like not understanding love and crushes and lust and any of those things, because like I just wasn't interested in men. I don't know.
Yeah, I don't know. I had so many other factors, and that I was a late bloomer. I was just like not accepting myself as a sexual being for a very long time that played into it. Yeah. I think I keep going back and forth. I'm like, did I struggle? I don't know. Maybe I am struggling this whole time. I've been struggling, and in 5 years I'll be in a much better place. I don't know. I just, the one thing I didn't accept when I didn't accept myself for being queer, I'll say, was when I had a few friends that I was like fully in love with and felt like shame about that because I still love them as a friend, but I was realizing I was like falling in love with these friends. That's when I was like, you're gross. How could you have a sleepover with this person when you're fully in love? So yeah, I'm like, wait a minute. Maybe I will accept. I don't know where I'm at. I don't know. And that's the bisexual plight.
I mean, I guess it's just like what feels like the most natural and good for you. And if it's like, you know, if you're bisexual or pansexual, if it's like having like all your options open, or just like being real about, I don't know, like being like, yeah, it's okay that like several things turn me on, you know?
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah. More things turn me on than things that...
Yeah, pervert.
I'm coming out officially
yourself, you pervert.
As a pervert. Just don't call me slightly queer.
I will not call you or any... I will not call anybody slightly queer unless they self-identify as slightly queer.
I'll say this. It's amazing that we came out this well-adjusted, considering the toxic time we came of age. When,
oh, for sure.
I know, I mean, all signs point to you hate yourself. Like, we really, growing up in the 2000s, like coming of age then,
yeah,
like the Uber dyke.
The worst thing you could be was a lesbian.
Yeah. So
that was the insult. That was the thing that was like, you know, I had a friend that was like, oh, Carolyn hasn't, you know, made out with a boy yet. Like, if you don't get on that soon, you're going to be a lesbian.
Yeah.
Like, that was the worst thing.
I was called a lesbian countless times. Then I would feel shame. But like, when I was at home masturbating to women, I felt no shame about it. So it's like hard to answer the question when internally I felt fine, but like externally or to like society, I would feel weird about it, you know?
Right. I mean, the Book of Mormon,
yeah,
musical, the whole, like, the end, like, the thing that stops this, like, person, what were they doing, like, raping children or whatever? Mm-hmm. And it was like, if you keep doing this, you'll come back in your next life as a lesbian. And it was like, nope, like, that's the
record
worst thing
scratch.
You could be. Record scratch. Like, even in this, like, funny, progressive, in quotes, musical, The Book of Mormon, the worst thing you could be is a lesbian. But you know what? I tried it and I'm like, I think this is the best thing I could be. I think this is really me living my best life as a lesbian and have never looked back.
Try it out.
Are we grooming?
Is
this grooming?
Am I a pervert?
I'm kidding. We're pervy groomers. All right.
We gotta go. It's getting weird. It's getting weird.
If you have a question for these two pervy groomers, send it to dykingout@gmail.com. Please send in your questions. And you can follow us on social media @dykingout. You can follow me @TGICarolyn.
You can follow this pervert @MelodyKamali.
And perv out with us more on our Patreon, patreon.com/dykingout.
See you pervs next Tuesday.
Have you ever watched a futuristic sci-fi movie and wondered, but wait, could any of this really happen? And will I live long enough to see it? That's what our show Hypothetical is about. I'm Carrie Bechet, and on this podcast, we ask what-if questions about the future. Like, what if we could read minds? What if the world's digital data was erased all at once? What would happen if the Yellowstone supervolcano erupted? Then we explore that question two ways, through speculative science fiction and through dialogue with brilliant scientists. The result is a genre-bending narrative that's interwoven with real facts provided by literal geniuses. And spoiler alert, a lot of the science fiction out there, it's not nearly as far-fetched as you might think. Come time travel with me into the future on Hypothetical. New episodes on Tuesdays, available on all your favorite podcast apps. Just search Hypothetical. That's HYPERTHETICAL.